Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tam Talk Radio Network.
This is Todd Yoder, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
And we are back. This is Knockout Radio coming to you live from Tour de Pizza 2, 8824 4th Street North, St. Pete. How you doing, Randy? Welcome back to the top of the hour.
1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Ian coming up here momentarily. Ian Heinisch fights this weekend against Derek Brunson, UFC 241, right?
241. In the Honda Center, 17th of...
This is where the very famous Pat Miletich, can you give me a ride to the airport story happened.
In Anaheim. In California.
I always do the red eyes back. Pat said, hey, can you give me a ride? We're in the car. I cut off a big monster truck. They got all mad and, you know, like they were going to get out and fight. Pat rolled down the window, stuck his head out. They screamed, oh, my God, it's Pat Miletich. Let us help you. And then he started, he became our fullback, you know, driving and making cars get out of his way so that we could get behind him so that we could get out. He goes, yeah, we're late for the airport.
Yeah, that's not the guy you want to have a road rage against. There's a lot of softer targets out there than Pat Miletich.
There's a lot. there is numerous.
That's a big fight in the middleweight division against Derek Brunson. So that's the first fight of the main card.
Yep, it's the first. This is a big fight for Ian.
This is a pay-per-view event. So the prelims are on the ESPN, and the early prelims are on ESPN.
Let's go out to Anaheim. Mighty Ducks, quack, 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 Mr. Ducksworth. Quack. We were just talking about that. Let's welcome to the program a couple days before he opens up the pay-per-view, Ian Heinisch. Ian, how are you?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. What's fight week like for you?
You know, it's great, man. I enjoy fight week a lot. I just got a massage, and then I'm out by the pool right now. And, you know, it's just getting a little bit of weight down. Got my nutritionist here, Trifecta. And, you know, just relaxing and getting this weight off.
Is fight week...
Get my mind right.
Is it kind of like, I don't know, the last week of school or the week before school, and you're like counting it down and you keep looking at the clock or you keep looking at the calendar and it's like two more days, one more day. Is it like that, or do you try to block all of that out?
No, you know, I'm not really trying to count down. I'm just enjoying the process every day. You know, we do something fun. I realize that this is a short time in my life, so I try to enjoy every aspect of it, the interviews, the weigh-ins, the cutting, even the cutting weight. So I just enjoy it. And then before you know it, it's fight day and I get to go do my thing. And that's just kind of the climax of the whole week.
You know, I ask a lot of the fighters and a lot of the other athletes, you know, that we cover, you know, it's a business trip and kind of what you're saying, you want to enjoy it as well. Is it a fine line of it being a business trip and, hey, I want to go and experience something I may never get back to, whatever that city may be? It doesn't necessarily have to be Anaheim.
Yeah, you know, I'm very familiar with here, but yeah, I love to get out and kind of explore the city a little bit. And me and my team, we know before the fight, it is business. We get to have a little bit of fun, but we still have to kind of, you know, hold back a little bit. You know, if I need to come home and rest, or they all understand if I need to take a nap, or we got to come back for interviews. But we try to carve some time, usually to go to the mall. I want to go do a little workout the day of the fight at the beach. And, you know, we try to enjoy the city a little bit, but we can't fully enjoy it until after the fight.
For sure. I have a friend of mine that used to work for the UFC, and we would always go to all these, you know, exotic places in Tokyo and Rio, and he would never get out. He was always working. And now that he no longer works for the UFC, he's like, I missed all of this opportunity to enjoy, you know, still work, but to enjoy. So I definitely get what you're saying. Since we're broadcasting live from Tampa, St. Pete, Tampa Bay, and Florida, which is the hurricane capital of the world, I'm kind of curious where your nickname came from.
So I don't know if you're familiar with Reuben Carter. He was a boxer. They called him the Hurricane. Yep. And he did 2 years in prison and came out and became a world champ. And, you know, a lot of things happened after that. Obviously, that's not part of my story, but I did 2 years in prison. I'm coming out. I'm going to be the world champ. And just it goes good with my name, Hurricane Heinisch. And also, I love the beach. You know, I love everything to do with the ocean. So it was just a name that stuck.
Awesome. I get it. Since you love the beach, we are the home of the number one beach in the world, which is Clearwater Beach.
Yeah.
So if you ever get the opportunity, you know, let us know.
Ian, so speaking of the beach, I mean, you fight out of Parker, Colorado. So do you feel like the altitude, like training at that high altitude, does it give you an advantage coming down to sea level in Anaheim?
Yeah, you know, definitely. We train at elevation. We go super hard. And when I come down here, when I go to sea level, whether it's anywhere in the world, I just feel like there's so much more air. Like I'm not breathing super hard, even when I run or I work out. I catch my breath quicker, and it obviously gets more oxygen to my muscles. They don't fatigue as quick. So it gives us a huge advantage, you know. Training up there, you can walk up the stairs and you can lose your breath, you know, because it is so high, especially going to the mountains and going on hikes and stuff like that as well.
When I started to do the research, knowing that you were coming on, I don't read other people's interviews. I don't listen to interviews. I try to, you know, just have chats with our guest. I started to read up on, have you ever been to Rikers? And I said to myself, instead of continue reading this, and I hope it's okay, maybe you could tell us a little bit about it. I'm sure you've told the story so many times you hate to do it, but I just thought it would be cooler having you say it than me read it.
Yeah, no, you know, it's a story of me using my pain as a platform and just a kid who, you know, I was just making so many mistakes, and it was all fueled by just being addicted to so many things, having that addictive personality and turning to drugs to support that, and selling drugs and getting caught in America and deciding to be super bold and just flee the country. And I was on the run and trying to make things work, living all over Europe, and just kind of got to a point where I was a full-blown alcoholic living homeless on the beach in the Canary Islands, Spain, and eventually met with some people that introduced me to the cocaine business of trafficking drugs from Colombia and South America, and eventually got caught and got 3.5-year sentence to 2 years, 4 months. And honestly, the best thing that ever happened to me, got sober, found a relationship with God, got to train full time in this prison, a prison that actually reformed me. And then when I did my time there, they sent me back, and I seen the ugliest part of America, which is a Rikers Island. And you know, I only had to spend under 2 months there, but it was the hardest part of the whole sentence and everything, and the whole process, and just, you know, giving me the chance to be able to shed light. I mean, Khalif Broder, if you've seen that documentary, has shined a lot of light on Rikers and just the American prison system, how we're not there to reform people. We're there to make money off people, and just to see how they did it in Europe and they actually reformed me. And now just God has this huge purpose on my life. 5 years later, I'm 10th in the world in the UFC, fighting on, in my opinion, the biggest pay-per-view card. And, you know, just being able to tell this story and all my fans, just give them so much hope, and so many people around the world, that's what fuels me. All those people that reach out and say, man, I was, you know, dealing with this or going through this or out of prison, and people told me I couldn't do anything, but you know, 5 years ago, I was rock bottom in a foreign prison cell, and now I'm where I'm at today. So it just inspires so many people, and that's what keeps me motivated.
Expand on that just for a second. How do you go from, in the part, you know, that I did read, from when the guard was taking you to the wing that you were going to, and he said something to the effect of, you know, you're the baddest white person I've ever seen, taking you there, because I guess he said that no whites have ever been there, to now on in the UFC, getting ready to be ranked, especially with this fight coming up against Derek Brunson. How did you go from there to preparing for this fight on Saturday?
Yeah, well, the guard just said, you must be a bad white dude because we don't ever see white guys in this. And, you know, at the time in my head, I was like, oh, shit. But I told him, you know, yeah, you're right, I am. And, you know, it's just the relationship with God, that him changing my life, getting me sober, and, you know, just me focusing on my purpose and not just these pleasures of the addiction that where it was taking me, and just focusing on what I'm here on this earth to do, putting all my effort and training super hard. And you know, and now I'm ranked 10th in the world, and I'm about to be in the, you know, Brunson's 8. So I'm about to be in the top 5 by the end of the year. That's my goal. So, I mean, there's so many, we could go on for hours of everything that helped me. So many things helped me. So many people, mentors, my coach, Mark Montoya, Professor Busy, my management, Jason House. So there's so many things and people, but mostly, you know, God changing my life and getting a relationship with him helped me.
What can you tell us about Derek Brunson?
Derek Brunson, you know, he's a wrestler who is also a decent striker, and he likes to brawl and come forward, and I like this style. This is a fight for the fans. I'm stepping forward, he's stepping forward, and, you know, I plan on getting him emotional in there and swinging crazy and catching him on the chin.
There is no better way to start a pay-per-view. What's the strangest, funniest thing that's happened, you know, in the middle of a fight? And I always go back to, I asked one of the fighters once, and he said he was fighting Dennis Seaver, and their corner obviously is talking German, and he said for about 5 or 6 seconds, I started to just daydream and think of the movie Inglourious Bastard. What's the funniest, strangest thing that's happened to you in the middle of a fight?
The middle of a fight? You know, just, I guess the realization that, you know, I get to do what I love, and I'm looking at this guy and I'm like, I get paid to beat your ass, and I get to go forward and try to hurt you as you try to hurt me. And, but off the top of my head, that's all I could think of. Cause you know, in Rikers, when you're fighting, you're not getting paid and you're probably going to get in trouble. And if you get in this fight in prison, someone might not pull this guy off you. So just the realization, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be dead in prison, and I'm alive, and I get to do what I love. And it's just amazing that in this great country, we can fight for money.
What can the fans expect to see UFC 241, you and Derek Brunson in the octagon? What should we be looking for?
They can expect to see right when that bell rings, me and him both moving forward, colliding in the center of the octagon, and me getting my hand raised.
Who are you picking in the main event?
You know, everyone asks, and, you know, I like DC. I think he's a great dude, and I think Stipe was winning that last fight. DC's gym is ranked above my gym, and we're number two last year. They're number one, so we're going to be number one this year. So, obviously, DC losing is going to help us get to that number one spot. So, I got Stipe.
There you go. Ian, I want to thank you for coming on. We're going to put you on hold. We want to send you a package from 8 Man Strong for giving us some time on the show, as well as, and I want this to be, what I'm about to say, I'm thinking in the back of my head, it's kind of funny. Maybe it's not. There are some addictions that are okay, one being cupcakes. So we're also going to send you a box of Wicked Good Cupcakes because I'm addicted to them. And after the fight, we can have some sweets and stuff. It'll be there at your house waiting for you from Wicked Good Cupcakes. Oh, thank you for your time. Best
you
of
so
luck
much.
On Saturday. And hopefully we can have you on again.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks a lot. We're going to put Ian on hold and get all that information out. But when I started to read that, you know, about his background, and it was pretty intriguing. And you know the amount of stuff I read.
Yeah, not much.
Well, other than a comic book and a coloring book, I really don't read a whole lot.
You read menus over the country.
I went to a bookstore for the first time in probably 20 years the other day.
Okay.
Well, I went to go buy There's No Such Thing as a Bad Kid.
Oh, yeah.
The Titus O'Neill book.
Sure.
Well, really, I think it's the Thaddeus Bullard book. And they were sold out.
Oh, wow.
There was no place in the state of Florida that had a copy.
Wow.
So I tweeted it. I said it's good and bad. I didn't tweet it for the reason that Titus might have thought, because he responded with, holler at me on Wednesday, I'll hook you up. I'm like, I wasn't asking.
Are there still libraries?
Well, this was a bookstore.
Oh, there's still bookstores?
Well, I said that. I go, what is this? And my wife goes, it's the second greatest thing on earth, behind a library. I go, no, I'm okay.
The library is where the homeless used to pee and stuff. Well, that's what libraries are.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you when I've been in a library.
What do you do there?
I really don't know. I really don't know. All right, let's go hit a real quick break. When we come back, we'll reach out to Dave Feldman.
Yes.
Find out. He said he would save one of his announcements. He'll fill us in on the other announcements, but then he'll break somebody else that he has signed to join the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. You got to do that quicker.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ooh, yes, the Macho Man Randy Savage. And when I want to catch up on all the sports, I listen to the Randy Harris Show. That's the bottom line.
Eight Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Eight Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Three vehicles, six competitions, where every athlete is in it to win it. Monster Jam Triple Threat Series, presented by official partners America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses, Metro by T-Mobile, and 1-800-ASK-GARY. Get your buy three tickets, get one free savings coupon from participating Metro by T-Mobile locations. Restrictions and exclusions may apply. See savings coupon for details. Don't miss this live event that's fun for all ages. Coming to Emily Arena August 24th.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Wade Boggs, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Knockout Radio coming to you live as we do every Wednesday. What's up, Randy? Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, you know, trying to produce and get some things done, moving and shaking during breaks. So we're going to shift around. We're going to reach back out to Corey Sanhagen, try to get Dave Feldman on at the bottom of the hour. Then we have Caleb Harris there towards the end, best Harris ever, or at least in his video.
Sure.
And then I'll reach out to Dave here in a few minutes and try to get him on as well. And
it was really good hearing Ian's story, though, like the story of redemption, the story of, you know, what they call it, reformation into society. And now he has a chance to live out his dream and do what he loves. And that was pretty cool. It's a cool story. But I don't think he's the most dangerous white man. I think Jeffrey Epstein, I think he was the most dangerous white man, and he didn't make it out of jail.
That might be true.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there, but I guess the cameras were malfunctioning, and he committed suicide.
Yeah,
under watch.
Yeah, yeah, he committed suicide while the cameras were off.
Who was the referee?
It's the 24/7 WWE title.
Who's the worst UFC referee? Who's the worst guy? Mario catches a lot of grief.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he was bad.
What if he was like the guard watching Epstein, like, and just,
well, it's like, do you watch Chicago PD?
Oh, sometimes, occasionally.
Well, when Al got stabbed and died in prison, it was the same thing. The guard was standing around the corner, just like looking away.
Right.
Oh, I didn't see anything. Well, yeah, you went, whatever.
We've seen a lot of bad stoppages in the UFC, so maybe those guys were watching over Epstein.
It could be. Yeah, and it definitely could be. Who knows? Who knows? But I am looking forward to this weekend out in Anaheim.
It's a great card.
A great card. Looking forward to talking to Dave Feldman here momentarily as well. I was out at Bucks camp today. I guess a legend, number 13 for the Miami Dolphins, was there.
Marino?
Dan Marino.
Number 13 or 31?
He was 13.
Was he?
Yes.
That guy never won nothing. Why is he a legend?
He was a legend with the Dolphins.
Wow, well, I mean, he's a legend.
Do you have to win a Super Bowl, you know, to be a legend?
I think yes. I think to be on a different level. I mean, to be on a Brett Favre or a, I think you got to have a ring. I mean, don't you think you have to be a champion to really have that L status, like that legend status? Because isn't what makes a legend is that they carried their team to the promised land, like LeBron carried the Cavaliers to a championship, you know, like the names go on and on and on and on.
So LeBron wasn't a legend until he won the title in Cleveland?
I don't think so.
So going to 4 or 5 straight before winning wasn't legendary?
I don't think so.
Really?
You think so? You think John Elway was going to be a legend if he went to the the Super Bowl four times and lost?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
A four-time loser is a legend?
Four-time loser in the Super Bowl.
L doesn't mean you're a legend. It means loser.
No, but it's still getting there.
Still right. L.
So let's go back in time. We're still talking ahead. We're talking about Anaheim this weekend. We're talking about the UFC and bare knuckle returning to Tampa.
Yes.
But let's close the book on Saturday in Biloxi with the president from Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, David Feldman. David, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for your time. I know you're busy. I know a lot of stuff's going on. Before we look ahead to some announcements that you might have already made in the Tampa, let's go back and talk about that Biloxi card. What a great card and what some absolutely wonderful fights.
Yeah, I mean, if we could pick a card, I'm sorry if you're hearing you screaming in the background. I'm walking on the boardwalk with the kids. I apologize. But if you look at that card, every single fight performed that night, every single fight delivered, you know, one or two weren't as good as the rest. But I think if I could pick a show and say, I want to give the fans this for free, that was the best card I've ever could have done.
You know, people ask me all the time about fights in UFC 2 and BKFC 1 and, you know, what do I remember? And I normally tell them, and this is the truth, I probably only remember 10 or 20 fights. I've seen so many. I'm so old. I don't remember much. I have never been anywhere to any event live and saw a fight like the Caleb Harris fight. I've never seen anybody fall face like that. And it was awesome to see that person.
Nah. Absolutely unbelievable, unbelievable punch that he landed. And everybody thought Jonathan Vincente was actually one of the guys that we picked up from the Philadelphia tryouts. We did a tryout in Philly a while ago, and we picked him up. And, you know, he said he was going to deliver. He came out. He tried to fight. He said he cut a little too much weight. But Caleb Harris hit him with that bomb, and, I mean, just completely stretched him, something that I've really never seen live before either. It was unbelievable. I mean, and then you go, how about the Christine Vieira Helen Peralta bout? I mean, I think one of the best that I really truly have ever seen witness live. I've never really seen a comeback like that from a woman. That was phenomenal.
It totally was awesome. It was incredible. I don't want to take up much of your time since you're with the family. Were any of the announcements made? I know you have some big signings
coming
up.
They were not. I mean, I've got a lot of guys that we're signing right now. Like, I'm going to just bring up some of the up-and-coming guys that we signed. Then I'm going to drop one name on you. We signed Joey Angelo, who is one and one bare knuckle right now, fought everywhere around the world. We just signed McFedries.
Oh, wow.
McFedries, if you're familiar with him, former UFC fighter, fought all over the world. We just signed him. But the big name for today that we're going to drop on you that we signed was, we just signed Antonio Bigfoot Silva, and I thought that was a great addition into the UFC stable.
Unbelievable, very big name, Drew McFedries from the Miletich Fighting Systems, some big names. And how much, final question for you, and then obviously I'll let you go and thank you very much. How much momentum can be brought from what we saw last Saturday, two upcoming fights?
We're just gonna keep delivering. We're just going to keep delivering. I mean, now we've raised the bar. We've raised the bar on what the fans need, and we have to deliver. And we plan on delivering that, you know, everywhere that we go from now on. So we're really excited about the future. October 19th will be right back to camp with you guys. I'm excited about that card. It looks like Antonio Silva will be the main event on that card, and we have some other big names that we're going to be matching up with him. We have Marcel Stance fighting. We have a bunch of guys that we really think can be stars in this sport, bare knuckle fighting championship. And really just looking forward to what the future holds. I say it a lot, but I couldn't be more looking forward to what the future holds than I am today, coming off of that epic card that we just delivered on Saturday.
Me as well. I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for including Knockout Radio and myself in the past and certainly in the future. Dave, thank you very much and enjoy walking the boardwalk.
Awesome, my man. Thank you so much, guys.
Take care. That is Dave Feldman, the president of BKFC, and last Saturday was absolutely incredible. Just like this Saturday is going to be out in Anaheim. Quack, 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 Mr. Ducksworth. Let's go back out there as we get ready for Saturday. On the phone with us right now, Corey Sanhagen. Corey, how are you?
Hello.
Corey, are you there?
Yep. Hey, how are you, man?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. My apologies. My dyslexia, and I reversed two numbers, and that's why we thought we called you, but obviously we didn't, and I'm sorry. Thank you for jumping on. Talk to me about what fight week is like for you.
Yeah, fight week is probably, I would say, my favorite part of the entire training camp, because I don't have to wake up every morning and have to worry about, like, doing some conditioning that I feel like I'm going to die during, or getting beat up by my training partners and stuff. So, I mean, 5 weeks is smooth. We kind of just hang out. We do a couple of interviews like this. Today we're going to hit the beach, and then I'll lose some weight on Friday, and then we'll fight on Saturday.
Does it matter to you, and does it change your preparation, whether you're fighting, you know, in California, Pacific time, or if you were fighting in New York or Florida, which is Eastern? Obviously, the 3 hours difference doesn't matter a lot now, but it would matter more on Saturday come fight time.
That's like a really specific thing to stress about, and I try not to stress about the really specific things. No, 1 hour change isn't going to make that big of a difference.
What do you like about being in the combat life, and what do you dislike about, you know, being a fighter, if anything?
I would say my favorite thing is I can't really think of too many other paths that I could walk in life where I'm going to have to, like, really better myself in order to kind of better what I'm doing. So, with fighting comes a lot of fear and a lot of facing a lot of insecurities that you kind of got to deal with before you go in and you face that person. So every fight that I have, I kind of discover something new about myself. I discover some new ego that was in there creeping around that I get to address, and in the long run, I get to just be a better person in that.
What's it like for you? You know, you're standing in the back, you know, you hear your name announced and you start walking out. And the reason I ask that is, a former UFC fighter, he fought in the Ultimate Fighter, he was the number one draft pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Marcus Jones, told me that when he would get ready to fight, he'd stand on the stage to walk out, and he's thinking to himself, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? What runs through your mind as you get ready to leave behind that back curtain to walk out, you know, to the octagon?
Yes, that's just one of the little egos that'll creep in your mind. And to be honest, man, it's different every time. I've had a good amount of fights, including my amateur and kickboxing fights now. And I would say that there's kind of like, there's no real like reason behind why sometimes you get nervous, sometimes you don't. And for me, like, I mean, in my last fight against John Lineker, who was probably the most dangerous opponent that I've ever faced, I had zero nerves or zero fear at all going into it. But guys that I thought that I was going to go out and just smoke, they would call my name, and I would almost feel like I'm going out into the Coliseum to go get eaten by some tigers, like in the Roman days. So it's weird, man. It's different every time. And, I guess we'll just see how it is.
When that has happened in the past, you know, when you have had some nerves or whatever, how long until that disappears? Is it once you're in the middle of the cage, once the first punch is thrown, or does it ever go away in the middle of the fight?
I would say, well, yeah, as you start fighting, I would say is when it starts to go away. I haven't had it lurk too much into the actual fight. Usually it's just like, all right, he's calling my name, or I'm sitting there and I'm waiting inside of the cage and being like, all right, do I look at him? Where do I look? Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, it's just a lot of stupid thoughts running through your head. And then I would say, yeah, I mean, if that is happening, which it doesn't happen all the time, but if it is, right when we touch gloves, all of that stuff goes away. You get hit in the face one time, and then you're reminded of what you're doing, and then you're kind of back to doing what you've trained to do.
I always tell guests when they come on, and anybody that's ever listened to this national show, they know that I don't read other people's stuff. I don't do a whole lot. I might do a little bit of research once I find out who the guest is the day of the interview. And I ran across something that they were talking about you, and I'm sure you've seen this quote, and I have to read it. I have to let people across the nation and across the country or across the world know this. It says that you are the nicest guy on earth outside of the ring and a complete animal inside of it.
Oh, man, that's really nice. Whoever wrote that doesn't know me very well, because I'm kind of a jerk. I'm kidding. Yeah, I mean that's good, man. I mean, as far as aesthetics goes, I know that I'm not the guy that looks like he's going to go out and beat up anyone. I like to give people my attention, and I mean, I speak real freely. I'd be real honest with people, and I think people really appreciate that. So wherever you read that quote, I would like to thank the person that said that, because that's really kind.
It was definitely cool. Give us your thoughts on your opponent, Rafael.
Yeah, Rafael, I mean, it's going to be a really tough fight. The dude isn't easy to beat. I kind of just have to maximize my advantages. He's good literally everywhere, ground game, wrestling, and standing. So I'm going to keep the fight where I want to keep the fight, control it, use my advantages of being taller, faster, and having really good footwork. And I think that that's going to give him a lot of problems in the 15 minutes that he has to kind of figure out the problem that is my style.
Do you enjoy fighting? Are you good at it? Marcus Jones once told me this as well, that he hated football. He was a number one draft pick, but he hated it. He was just good at it. I mean, are you good at what you do and you don't like it, or do you love what you're doing?
No, I love what I'm doing, man. There's different aspects that I don't love as much as the other parts, but for me, like I approach this as a real art. So for me, it's like, man, like how can I make this painting a little bit more prettier, or how can I kind of like move in a different way that people haven't seen, or react to a certain way that people haven't really seen. So for me, man, like the creation aspect of this entire sport or this art, whatever you want to call it, is where I really find myself most. So for me, that's definitely the most enjoyable part, and it's kind of what has developed this style that you guys see in the cage.
Not to look past Saturday night, but with the win on Saturday, where do you think that puts you, and what's next? Not looking past Saturday, of course.
Yeah. In a perfect world for me, I fight for an interim belt against Sterling or Jan after this one. It doesn't matter to me which one it is. And then after that, I would like to see, because Joseph Benavidez is a really good friend of mine, I would like to see Henry Cejudo go fight Benavidez. Come back up to 135 when he's all healed up from his surgery and he can fight Benavidez, and then after that take a little bit of rest or whatever he needs to do, and then fight me. But until then, I would like an interim belt afterwards. But we're kind of living in the day and age of the money fight, and that kind of puts me in a tough spot, as I'm just kind of on my fifth fight in the UFC. So I mean, I guess we'll see, but a perfect world, I fight either Sterling or Jan for interim belt probably at the end of the year, or maybe early next year.
And, of course, that all can happen depending on what happens Saturday night. Speaking of your fight on Saturday, what should we expect to see?
I mean, you're going to see what you've seen in every fight, where I'm going to be really technical. I'm going to put a lot of pressure. I'm just going to go out, be myself. And then if something scores real big, if Asuncao makes a mistake on the ground, then he's going to make a mistake on the ground that I'll capitalize on. So it's just going to be a lot of being me that night. That's all that I really focus on.
And Matt, if you remember, we were at his last fight in Fort Lauderdale. Before we let you go, give me your pick on DC Stipe.
I think I got Stipe, dude. I don't know. I'm like a big underdog guy. I really like to watch the underdog win, so I'm a little bit biased in that way. But I think everyone is really sleeping on Stipe because DC is having a ton of hype and a ton of publicity right now. But I mean, people are kind of forgetting how good that guy is. So I mean, because he's the underdog, I'm going Stipe.
There you have it. Corey, thank you very much for your time. We're going to put you on hold real quick so we can get an address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong for giving us a couple minutes of your time today.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for your guys' time as well.
Thank you very much. Corey gets back in the octagon this Saturday in Anaheim. I always say this the week of. We should have gone.
We should have.
I said let's go, and you blew it off.
Oh, I didn't blow it off.
I don't need you to go.
One of my employees died.
No, we talked about it before your employee died.
I could have made it happen if he'd still been here to cover some shifts. I could have made.
I told you I'm not doing last minute though.
That's true.
You know, the cheapest that I had it set was we had to like fly into San Diego.
I don't want to hear cheap. You're spending $4,000 for a queen ticket.
I'm not. I told my brother to sell it.
Cash the ticket in. Then we can go.
Wait a second.
Red eye.
I can't cash in something that's given to me.
Sure you can.
No.
It's given to you. No. You can do what you want with it.
You know what I want to do? I want to hit this break, and when we come back, last week's best Harris ever with one of the greatest knockouts I've ever seen, and I was cage side or squared circle side. Remember, Bedford gave me crap because I said cage side.
I know.
And he's like, this isn't cage side, it's squared. Johnny Bedford's the best. I spent all night with him.
The double champ.
Yeah, the double champ. All right, this is Knockout Radio brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Son. We'll be right back. But I watch the world float to the dark side of the moon. I feel there's nothing I can do.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
Three vehicles. Six competitions, where every athlete is in it to win it. Monster Jam Triple Threat Series, presented by official partners America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses, Metro by T-Mobile, and 1-800-ASK-GARY. Get your buy three tickets, get one free savings coupon from participating Metro by T-Mobile locations. Restrictions and exclusions may apply. See savings coupon for details. Don't miss this live event that's fun for all ages. Coming to Emily Arena August 24th.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is Dale Murphy, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
fireball.
I had to wait for the fireball.
You did.
I had to wait. All right. For the right to leave the show early. Okay?
For me?
Yeah, you.
All
right. For the right for you to leave the show early. Okay. What team did Dell Murphy play for?
The Atlanta Braves.
Yes. Shocking.
I was looking up if he was on a Wheaties box or not, because he should have been.
Oh, so you cheated.
That guy should have been.
But you cheated, so you didn't know.
I don't think he is on it.
No, probably not.
That's terrible. He absolutely deserves to be on a Wheaties box.
What sport did his son play?
His son played UFC.
Yes, he played UFC.
I don't know.
He's such a tool bag.
What is his son
played football.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The great Dale Murphy. I didn't necessarily say legend, the great Dale Murphy. And I'm not going to say he's not a legend, but to me, legend is Hank Aaron.
Okay. Right. Well, you said number 13 was a legend. All he did is he tossed the football a bunch of times, but he never won nothing with it.
It doesn't matter. You can be a legend and not be a world champion. Where anywhere across this country, or even better yet, anywhere in Miami, and you say, name an athlete in Miami. Only one of two names would ever be said in Miami.
LeBron.
No, LeBron would not be said in Miami.
LeBron's a legend, isn't he?
He's not a legend in Miami.
Shaq. No. Alonzo Mourning.
If you went to Miami and said, all right, quick, name a Miami athlete of all time.
Shaq.
Marino, Dwayne Wade.
Wade's up there?
Yes.
You think Wade's number two?
Yes.
Huh.
I do.
All right.
I can't think of anybody else. I cannot think of anybody.
What about the highlight player from the Don Johnson Miami Vice?
Do you ever play highlight?
No, but it's the most dangerous game in the world.
You know why?
Because 181 mile an hour, like cork ball or whatever. Like
I've played it.
Have you really?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome.
I bet it looks cool. I mean, Miami Vice made it look like it's the coolest sport on earth.
There was a Fronton in Tampa, it was on Dale Mabry, South Dale Mabry. And a very good friend of mine was the PR guy. Well, both of them. The head guy, and then when Mark left, then Shane Best ran Tampa. And we would go there. Sean and I would go there and play.
Wow.
Now, I almost killed myself because the Cessna, you know, which is curved.
Right,
it's like your hand, but it's curved. So when you throw the ball, if you look straight ahead and you throw straight ahead, it's going to your left.
Oh, wow.
Because of the curve of the Cessna. So I went to throw it off the front wall. And I
behind you?
No, I hit the sidewall. So you hit the sidewall, and then it flies back over at you. But, it definitely was a lot of fun. You know what else was a lot of fun? Doing this video, and we'll explain the video that we shot on Saturday. But like I just said to Dave Feldman, I've seen it on TV. Ric Flair used to do it all the time. But I have never been in person and sat squared circle side or ringside or cage side or whatever and witnessed the knockout that I saw on Saturday with Saturday's best Harris ever, and that's Caleb Harris. Hey, Caleb, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How's it going?
We appreciate your time, and my first big complaint is I don't know how your knockout was not only top 10 on ESPN, but number one.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm just still amazed at how far it's gone. This is all new to me.
Well, and like Dave Feldman and I just talked, he did the segment at 3:15. It's the official BKFC segment. You know, it's fights like yours. It's fights like the co-main event, you know, that's going to help propel bare-knuckle fighting to where we all believe it really can go. Covered it since BKFC won. You know, thank you for what you did. And more important, thank you how you handled it after and, you know, everybody throwing your name and screaming at you. You stopped and talked to fans. And I think that's going to help push this sport, you know, further along as well.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, no matter what type of fighting, I've ever since I started fighting, I've always believed, like, MMA was ridiculed from the get-go as being barbaric and savage. And now you've got bare knuckle boxing. So I want to be one of those faces that when they look and they find out that I'm a bare knuckle fighter, they're like, oh, well, these guys are actually like down to earth and nice guys. They're not just thugs getting in there and barroom brawling.
When I first started covering UFC, the very first one I attended to cover, I mean, I've covered them all. It just shows you I'm older than you've been alive, obviously. The fact that everything that they're doing, you know, and that's what you guys are doing now, you're doing all the things properly, you know, not only in the cage, but after a fight, whether it's a squared circle, a ring, or a cage, or whatever. You know, the fighters, they don't necessarily, there are a few times, but more than not, they don't hate each other. It's just the sport that you're competing in, and you talk after, you know, I remember I was at one, and the two guys who just fought, the guy who knocked out my buddy was explaining what he did wrong to him. Who does that? And you don't think that, which again separates the quote, guys really are.
Right. No, I totally agree with that.
How did you, you know, not only get into combat sports, but, you know, transition over to bare knuckle?
So, I've been in martial arts pretty much ever since I can remember. I started when I was 7. I started in Shotokan karate. Did that till I was about 12. And all the while, my instructor was a professional kickboxer back in the late 70s, early 80s. His name's Larry Engel. And the whole time I'm learning karate, he's teaching me kickboxing and grappling. And when I turned 12, he decided to put me in the adult class. Well, from there, I was 12 years old, and the next oldest guy was, or the next youngest guy was 25, and he was an MMA fighter and kickboxer. So I grew up watching it pretty much my whole life. And when 18 rolled around, I told him, I was a senior in high school, and I had been telling him, I want to get into the ring. I want to get in the ring. And I had my first two MMA fights before my senior year of high school was up. I had graduated high school with as a 2-0 MMA fighter. And as far as getting into bare knuckle, I just, the tougher the sport, the more I want to do it to prove more to myself than anything that I'm the toughest one out there.
As everyone, you know, continues to repost and reshow the knockout, I was sitting with Johnny Bedford. That's his video that I've been reposting. I know what I thought. I know what Johnny Bedford said and screamed. What did you think as you connected and as he started a Ric Flair faceplant?
I was stunned. I mean, I guess in the back of my head, the reason I didn't go in for more was because somewhere in me, I knew that was it. I'd went to my corner and I told him, my corner had told me he's loading up that left hook. He's loading up that left hook before every combo. And I told him, I said, I'm going to finish him in the second round. And after the first knockdown, I knew it was just a matter of time. And I waited and waited. And I saw him getting ready to load up for a shot. And I just planted it. And when I planted that right hand, I felt it sink. And it felt different than the rest of them. And I saw it in his face. I saw his face just go slack, and I knew that that was it. And so there was no point in me continuing. And so I was kind of stunned at the same time. So that's why I stood there and watched as he fell, kind of stunned to have that happen. And then I just walked away because I don't believe in standing over your opponent after you knock him out. It just doesn't look classy to me. Muhammad Ali did it and got the nice picture, but there was a lot of build up to that fight. So,
yeah, the respect factor. As he fell, did it appear to you to be in slow motion?
Everything kind of slowed down to me. Not so much him, but just the whole ring. Just seemed to slow down, like, for just moments. All I could think was I wanted to get to my corners and see them and ask them, did that really just happen? And then after that, it's like the world went back into fast forward. I had everybody coming up to me, grabbing me, hugging me, wanting to take pictures and shake my hand. And I kept asking Bill Clancy while I was in the ring if it was okay for me to walk over and check on my opponent, because I wanted to make sure he was okay before I went all celebrate.
Which I saw. You know, I was sitting there and I saw you do that. So definitely a class move, and the whole night was total class. I appreciate your time. What's next for you?
I'm hoping to be able to do another bare knuckle fight. We're kind of waiting and seeing on that. I've got a couple of buddies that actually start fight camp tonight, getting ready for some MMA fights. So I'm looking forward to being able to be one of the guys to help them instead of them having to be on top of me the whole night. And there's the possibility that I might be going to Atlanta in September and competing in an IBJJF tournament to work on my jiu-jitsu game a little bit more.
So definitely good stuff up coming for you in the future. Thank you very much for your time. We're going to put you on hold so that we can get a mailing address so we can send you a care package from Ape Man Strong for coming on and being the best Harris ever.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Take care. That is Caleb Harris. And,
awesome.
This is how classy, and I kind of wanted to wait till he was off, and you know, I don't want it to sound like, you know, I'm kissing butt and whatever, but when we did the video, and it's ironic because it's partly because of you that I even started this, because, okay, you know, you called Walt Harris best Harris ever.
I did.
When we did the show when I was live in New York. So I told Caleb that. Well, Caleb knows Walt from Alabama and whatever, and so he put that in the video,
right,
about Walt Harris. And then afterwards, before I posted it, he's like, you know, he was a little concerned because the respect factor that he has, he didn't want Walt to think he was being disrespectful to Walt.
Right.
So I texted Walt right away. And I'm like, hey, Walt, you need to check this out. I'm going to post it on Twitter. You know, it's all in good fun, blah, blah, blah. He thought it was awesome. So yeah, that tells you a little bit about
Big
best
Ticket's
Harris
a good
ever.
Dude, man.
Big Ticket was cool.
He like, you know, he was the one that called you from UFC 236, and yep.
Yeah, when you were, I don't know, supposed to be
getting interviews with Henry Cejudo
at the house
before he became the intergalactic champion. The next he's gonna fight an alien to be the number one
he's
in the world.
He's definitely gonna go to Mars and fight. It's just so stupid. It's just stupid. It's taking stupidity to a whole new level. It truly is.
That's why I got to drive him to the airport. Like, I collect like-minded people in my world.
I do need to post that video when I said it was at the MMA Awards. I said, Henry, I have a question for you. Who's the worst Uber driver you've ever had? And he looked at me. I said, think Atlanta. And he's like, oh, why? Was that you? I'm like, yeah, it was me. I'm an Uber driver. No, the knucklehead Uber driver. Oh, he was the best.
He did.
He had some great stories.
It's nice that the Naked Pizza Man has the triple C.
I don't know what the Naked Pizza thing is. I don't get it.
Who did you just call out the other day? He said someone was going to take a knee to the triple C. Just
I don't listen to him.
Huh?
But he's doing. He's right in what he's doing.
He's doing what he has to do.
He's doing what he has
That's
to do.
That's why Stipe doesn't have the fan base that he should, because Stipe
probably
doesn't
true.
Talk.
I've said that since
he
day
just
one.
Handles business.
Yep.
And he goes in and he wins. But that brings up a valid question, though. Why are other divisions able to put together these amazing champions that defend the title 12 times like Demetrius and 11 times like Anderson? Why is the heavyweight strap so hard to get somebody to dominate for so long?
All right. You're going to get me beat up.
Okay.
No, you're going to get me beat up because of the answer.
Okay.
The quality of the opponents.
Wow.
When Anderson Silva ran through, when GSP ran through, the opponents were weak. They were. I mean, look at who GSP beat.
You sure it's not based on like the style, like
because
the heavyweight guys one punch.
No,
because they're not as grappling. It's more boxing and like who's got the heavier hand.
Who have been the big name heavyweights?
No.
Who has it been?
Cain
Velasquez was
Brock.
Okay. Was Cain Velasquez okay? Or are you gonna? He wasn't better than okay. He was all right.
Couture.
He was okay. He was all right.
Randy?
Junior Dos Santos was okay. I mean, I'm just saying they haven't had an Anderson Silva 2, Anderson Silva 3. Three or four guys that were so competitive and so close to each other. That's why Anderson Silva dominated. That's why Demetrius Johnson dominated. That's why
Matt Hughes
dominated. And more importantly, that's why Knockout Radio dominates. And that's
no,
the way.
There's no other competition.
Well, some big stuff is down the pike is about to happen. You have until midnight tonight. Go on Twitter. Go on Facebook. All you need to do is post, I want to register for the UFC tickets. We will have the drawing. I will announce on Twitter tomorrow. I want to thank all of our guests. Matt, decent job. I want to thank our sponsors, 8-Man Strong and Staff Zone. Until then, hit me up on Twitter at Knockout Radio.
At Naked Pizza Man 1.
See everybody next week.
The girls is all jockeying at the other end of the bar, having drinks with some no-name chump when they know that I'm a star. So I got them to show Dover to the other side of Cantina. I asked the guy why he's so fly, he said Funky Cole.
This is BJ Upton from the Tampa Bay Rays. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project or maybe want a true partner for all your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions, and we want to work for you. For all your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business.
This is Alice Cooper talking with Randy Harris on Talking Sports.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.